The following program may contain content that your kids would love to hear, but you may not want them to.
The Hallelujah, 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 Hallelujah. Trail.
This is Sherlock Holmes. I love listening to Cthulhu Chronicles. Quick, Watson, the needle.
Some of us have great stories. Noodle salad, good. Pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and good. Noodle salad, boats and friends and good. Noodle salad. But a lot of people, that's their story. Noodle salad, boats and friends and boats and friends and good times. Noodle salad, noodle salad. That's their story. Noodle salad, noodle salad, noodle salad. What makes it so hard is not that you had it bad, but noodle salad, good. Good, good. That's their story. Noodle salad.
Blah, blah, blah. They killed a goose.
They did.
And now...
Stuck with this.
Stuck with this fucking shit. Blah, blah, blah.
This shit.
It's not right. Wait, hey. Stuck with this fucking shit.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right. Wait, hey. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. Wait, hey. Stuck with this fucking shit.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right. Guys come in, all the blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right. I know what I'll do. I'll go out and rob everybody blind and go to Argentina, because nobody ever thought of this before. Guys come in, all the blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right. You know, so they killed a goose, and a fucking man's worked all his life. He's got to...
That's right.
...cower in his boots.
Shoes, boots, yes.
Guys come in, all the blah, blah, blah.
That's right.
You're goddamn right it's right.
What do you do?
What can you do?
What can you do?
Guys come in, all the blah, 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 blah.
Broadcasting, the one and the only me, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. I am also the third man, the vegetable man, and the godfather of internet radio. So bad. How many things are you? I ask you. It's time once again to continue this parade of sounds and words and ideas and thoughts right here, Cthulhu Chronicles. So let's not waste much more time than necessary. Here we go. Ice cap to ice cap, from Hamlet to city, from Othello and into every bordello. It's me, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. The man who's here one way or another. Although, you know, it's a very different thing for you on that side than it is for me on this side.
And I invite you to come sit here, and I'll listen to you. And it seems like everybody, I can do that anyway, because everybody has a podcast now or something or other anyway, but not live. And certain things happen that had never happened in the first, 9 years? For 9 years. At least 9 years. I don't think there was one repeat or rebroadcast or anything, because I was always here. And I did a lot of things then. I do a lot of things now. But, of course, that's 9 years on me. And so many people who were here back then are not here now. We do have some new people here. And, you know, so I'm so I am here. And things happen that make, you know, a week go by. Of course, the great thing about this is, right, some people would say that you're not on. That's right. And no, the great thing is that, we have the cloud. And if you tune into SRN Media Works here on the live, if you tune into the live show, and I'm not here for any which what reason, none of your business, then you get me anyway, because there's pieces of me all over the place on the cloud. There's great indie music. And I'm not kidding about that either. I was surprised. I listened to some of what goes on up there, you know, and there's some pretty good songs going on. And funny things, and, you know, you got Mike Wynn, and you got Phil Hong and me, and all sorts of stuff. And now you have the data news briefs, which is funny, or it's not, whatever. The point is, there's a Carlene is there, and stuff, and there, all sorts of stuff. So when I'm not here, which is now more common than I would like it to be, but, you know, you're still welcome for the wonderful radio, because when we aren't here, and when we do shows, we bring back some memories, and we give you some new memories to have, some things to have, right? Yes, we can't really give you memories. We can't give you memories. We give you something to remember, and that's the case. So if that sounded like an apology, then screw me. I don't know. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But let me tell you something, a couple of things that are going to happen as we go, oh my goodness, I'm going to say this, as we go more closely to Y2K plus 20. Yeah. Okay, so what are we going to do? Well, we're going to do a lot of things. Let me tell you what we know we're going to do, at least. Next week, we're going to have a real event. You know, kind of a real a new... How would I say this? It's a new... not new age, because it's not the new age. It's a kind of a broadcasting, an internet broadcasting event. Here's what's going to happen. If you were here a couple of weeks ago when we had Mary Parr on this show, she's a YouTuber of a young and bright and funny broadcaster. And we just decided to go into some, you know, this kind of broadcasting. As a YouTube channel where you could go and subscribe, and I hope you will. She pops up on Periscope and various places, and she's like everyone else, you know, follow me on Twitter, follow me on Instagram, follow me on Snapchat, follow me in National Geographic, follow me in, you know, on the web. And Manila had this great idea because, she said she'd come back when we had her on, and was well received, and I'm sure she got some followers. But okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm telling you this because if you don't have Periscope, I know you have a phone or you have an iPad or you have an something, right? You have some kind of device. Get Periscope. It's free. Download it. It's free. Here's what's going to happen. Mary Parr is going to be on Periscope. And on this show at the same time, this is going to be fun. She's going to be on Periscope and on this show. And so in other words, the show is going to be somehow going over to Periscope. But you know, on Periscope, people can call in. And of course, there's a constant, people writing in, you know, typing in things. They type in comments. Some of them are, you know, I did a show on Periscope, not in Periscope, but on. Okay. So, you know, I don't have to tell explain these things because most people here know. If you don't know this stuff, then you're probably sitting somewhere listening to and watching MeTV, right? You know, or the sports network that sucked up Turner Classic Movies. What the hell was that all about? Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yeah, some of you do. Okay, so get Periscope if you don't have it. Mary Parr, my Isabella, I like to call her, my Isabella, will be on this show. And the point I'm trying to make here is it's just not going to be me and her talking. People will be able to call in to Periscope and write in like a chat, like the old chat room. And I'll be here and she'll be there where she lives. Because this is a marvelous time for such communications to happen. I, you know, not necessarily is it great when it happens, but it's a marvelous time for it. So she'll be on Periscope and on this show, which means I'll be somehow on Periscope because I'll be talking, I guess. Although you won't see me. You will not be able to see me. I won't let you see me. I will not be seen, but Mary will be seen. It's okay. She's delightful to look at by comparison. So that's what we'll do. Mary Parr and I will call it a, I don't know, I don't know what I was going to call it. It can't be a bi-broadcast because that has sexual connotations and we don't want sexual connotations. We want a bi-cast. Maybe a bi-cast. That still sounds like it, right? I haven't thought this through, you know, and I usually don't think anything through. It just comes to me. It will come to me. If you go to my Facebook or if you go to, forget about my Facebook, go to CatoloChronicles.blogspot.com, and you will find out, you know, towards the end of, not the end of this week, it is the end of this week, next week, you know, Wednesday, Tuesday, and look for there what's happening. Look for there what's happening. Look on that site to find out how this contraption is going to work. We hope it's going to work great. One way or another, Mary Parr will be here. And we're going to do that and devote it to all the people out there who want to talk to us. And, you know what's going to happen. There's going to be some weird stuff going on. And there's, I don't even know. Will she be on YouTube? No, live? She could. I don't know. It's going to be different. And I think that's what you expect from Cthulhu Chronicles. Also, what? Gary Popoli is going to be here. Dr. Popoli is going to be here in the next couple of weeks. And Dr. Popoli, this is a very important show. I think he thinks vaping. Dr. Popoli has told us many things that we should heed. Things we should heed? Things? Do you heed things? He's told us about many topics that we should listen to him. Warnings, I guess. Warnings. Anyway, he's going to talk about vaping, and you're going to get the real scoop from Dr. Popoli, psychologically and physiologically. Is it physiologically? Physiologically? I guess that's good. And so Dr. Popoli will be here, okay? So that's also a live show. And then, see, I don't know when there's not going to be a live. I can't tell you, oh, you know, you're going to come here live and it'll be on the cloud. But that's okay, because you got juicedtalk.com where you could pick this up anyway, and that's where most people listen. There, places like there, True Talk Radio that broadcasts, because there's still stations out there that broadcast this show. And I'm happy they do, and I'm happy that we can. So, there. So that will be Dr. Popoli and the vaping show. We don't know what Andrew, Dr. Woldor is going to talk about, but he will be here as the year ensues, so we'll get back. So we know he's coming. These are people I've gotten in touch with, so it's not like I'm just going, well, maybe we'll get him, or maybe I'll call her, or maybe, and I'm, you know, not like I'm going to talk like that either. Now, also Heather Drain, I want to talk about Heather Drain for a second, because Heather Drain has been on the show many times, especially since we're doing movies tonight, reminded me of that. Heather Drain now has a newsletter, Mondo Heather newsletter. I don't know how often it comes out. And I saw the second edition today, which means it's come out at least twice. Unless, of course, she sent me the second edition and there are five more editions after that and I don't have them. Nah. The newest edition, the latest edition. If you like movies, old weird things about movies, characters, actors, and people, you know, no one knows more than Heather Drain. Heather Jane, she is. Remember that? No, you don't. So forget it. Heather, I wonder if I could put, no, forget it. We're not going to go get that now. Here's the deal. MondoHeather.com. That's her website, and that's where she sends out articles, because she does articles about films and stuff, to all lots of online, great online and dependable online magazines. She's in print. You got to say you're in print. You get published if you get posted. That's the name of a new, that's a good one. You know, you get published if you get posted. They call it posted, but it's published. In another way, it's published. Because it means that many people can read it. It's published. It's out there. The public can see it. Pub is from published. Pub-lished. Lished meaning it's out there. Pub meaning we put it out there. Published. Very simple. It's posted. It's published. And we don't say published on the interweb. We say posted for some reason. If you go to Heather, Armando Heather, there's a link on there somewhere. And you could subscribe. It's absolutely free. To the Mondo Heather newsletter. And, of course, I don't know exactly what we'll talk about because we talk about tons of things and we usually have some kind of theme. She likes that. I like to go at random, you know, but I'll do it, she says. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Five words that make everybody communicate, allows everyone to say exactly what they mean. You know what I mean. And you know what I mean? That was a song, remember? What was his name? Albert Chachki? I don't know. I can look it up. But you know what I mean? Dun, 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 dun. Woo! Who was that? Yankee Danky. Why Yankee? Why did I say Yankee? I don't know. I got a name. Anyway, you're welcome for the wonderful radio, which is going to continue. D, the artist D, is going to be here. We have another great show planned, great topic planned, when the artist D gets here in November. We know that's settled, I think, for the 7th or whatever. Yeah, I think it's, okay, you'll find out. One day at a time. We're going to talk, speaking of a Periscope, speaking of all the different devices, and speaking of YouTube, blah, 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 we're, and Twitter, I didn't mention Twitter, but should, because, you know, you heard the word Twitter here before you heard it anywhere. Now everyone has an account. If you were listening, and I don't know, if you were listening, we could get, I've been in touch with Kirk Brando, incidentally, the man who announced Twitter on this show before anyone knew Twitter. But we have a big problem with him time-wise because he's always somewhere in the world where he's like hours and hours away from us. And since we do this live, you know, I just refuse to do any, oh, once in a while, once in a blue moon, as my mom used to say, there was a segment that was pre-recorded for a guest. Okay? We do play pre-recorded stuff, and I may play some tonight after we, if we have time after, we do our topic live. But I just don't like to do that, so that's why there aren't more guests. It's not the only reason there aren't more guests. There aren't more guests because, you know, I don't just want to have anybody on. As I told you before, many times, I'm usually swamped with emails from people who have just written books independently or come out with albums, you know, because everybody does independent stuff. And that's why this is going to be fascinating when Dee gets here. And I'll give you the catch here. Amateur porn is the new rock and roll. This is the topic. Because this is absolutely true. When we started this show some many years ago, and we did a lot of topics on porn, because pornography, the business in general, came to the internet. I know that sounds stupid. Used the internet first and foremost. The business was aware that this is a new medium. We need to be there. We can make money, do everything, or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And that's back when I'd say 99% of the areas of business, media today, 99% that have a presence, and everybody does, so it's, you know, on the interweb, wanted nothing to do with this place. When porn arrived, it almost owned the interweb. Okay? That's changed, just like everything has changed. And now, many of the people who were involved in porn, because even porn worked itself into a non-profitable thing, because, okay, that gets into like history, and I don't want to do that. I just want to say that amateur porn now, a lot of people have gone their own way independently, and they're not connected to businesses or factories, porn factories. I don't know if that's even a term, but you know what I mean. Studios, places, companies that produce porn. And now with things like ManyVids and Twitter and even the Periscope, where people can, you know, have to accept, make groups and do stuff. I don't, you know, visually. Amateur porn is the new rock and roll because everyone is doing it. And I'll explain that when the show comes on. The artist D, who has been on this, in this theater, in this format, for as long as I have, at least. Well, no one could be here before us because nobody could do this before us. We'll be talking about this. We're doing a lot of research. We might even have somebody on. But, you know, well, so that's going to come up. That's November 7th. That's booked. That's locked and loaded. Oh, wait, really loaded. Locked and loaded. The amateur porn is the new rock and roll. And we'll be talking about that because that's a bigger thing than most people know or want to admit. I don't know. But it's there's a swarm of people out there. It's not a swarm of people, right? It's a den, a lion's den, a den of lions. No, it's not a lion. It's a bride of lions. I was doing that the other day. I was looking up the various names. I'm not going to do that tonight, but I thought I'd mention it because I will be looking through my notebook. That's the other thing. I got a number of notebooks over the years with all sorts of ideas and things and jokes and funny stuff and stuff related to things we've talked about here and not and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go through those notes. We're going to have notebook shows. I'm going to go through those books, the composition books, as of which are the same ones that I always promote for you to have, your Cotolo Chronicles notebook, so that the Mead notebooks, which are now at bargain places, are as little as 50 cents each or two for a dollar. I like that when they say two for a dollar is 50 cents each, but they don't want to say 50 cents each. So because they want to get rid of them. So you go two, buy two, you get them for 50 cents each. You buy one, you get them for a dollar. Who buys one? No one. And it's like, you know, it's like, oh, it's not like anything. Forget it. I'm not going to go into a rabbit hole because I got a topic here and we're going to do the topic. It's the same topic we talked about last time. We're going to do notebook shows. So that's it. I think. As the week goes on, plenty of things happen. Plenty of people might, you know, come on. Things can change because we don't set things in stone. We do them as we have to do them. It's an existential experience here on Cotolo Chronicles. And my name is Frank Cotolo, the man whose name adorns the title of the show. The man whose name, little rap thing there. Let me move this over because I didn't carefully prepare for this. Okay, there you go. Hear all the sounds. Last week I was going to, before we canceled, I'm going to have to get this now. We were going to talk about movies. Here it is. 10th? Was it? So that was 2 weeks ago. We didn't and we changed it. It's 2019. It's October. We're going into November. So here's the deal. What? Website? I'm going to find out in a second here. Some website. Okay. CBS News? Oh, it's CBS News? Well, why do you like that, Frank? I'm a little down on CBS, the Sinclair part of it. Not the network. I'm not down on the network. I'm down on the Sinclair owning a lot of the... But that's another story in itself. Here it is, 52. The worst movies that got the worst reviews in 2019. So this is a very contemporary thing because you've probably seen a lot of these. Hey, what happened to that thing? Oh. Wait, what happened to that other thing? Hold on, I gotta get this other thing here and put it in place. Hold on. You know, again, no, there's no, I hate when it itch in the ear. Okay, so here's the other thing I gotta put this on the, in the queue here. Okay, I did. Okay. And then move this, which I'm doing now, cause you don't know, I don't have an engineer. That's it. Now, what happened to that? Is it here? Here it. Here we go. Here we go. Okay. The worst movies of 2019 are ranked. I think there's 52 of them here. I'm going to go through them. That's going to be the topic of our show. If we have time, I'll play a piece from 2016 where I talked about famous movies you might not know. I mean, famous songs you might not know came from movies. That's always a something that was fascinating. That was a good little show. Here, now, Lon, how did this happen? Okay, let me read to you what they said here. This comes from, CBS posted this. It comes from Scott Yamano of Netflix. And here it is. The worst films of the year. Excuse me. So far. there are bad films to come. Still. The worst films of 2019 so far feature quite a few big name actors. Yes, we're talking about big name actors and you'll hear about them when I mention them. He mentioned them here, but I'm not going to because I don't have to do a lead that is a tease. These movies were rated the lowest among all of the films released this year. How? There's a thing called the movie review aggregator, Metacritic. This is some kind of algorithm thing, I guess. This is some kind of database, digital. Let's just say digital. This is some kind of digital thing, this aggregator. and it takes a whole bunch of reviews and gives them points and stuff, you know, and then they put it in and it comes out here and they roll it around and somehow it comes out that these movies get really low ratings and numbers. And, we narrowed the list with at least 10 film critic reviews. Okay. 10 critics. Yes. Yeah. Now I know more than you do. I mean, I know more than I did. And now you know what I know. 10 critic reviews. Is that what I like? Okay. And what did they do? They put it in New York. And these are the ones in some kind of order. It says here there's 52 pages, but I don't know. And are they in order? They're ranked. So yeah. Okay. I'm going to go through this right here, right now. My name is Frank Atola. The man's name is the title of the show. We're going to do exactly what we said we would do, which we didn't do last time because we went up to the cloud and those cloud visits are fun, but you know, and they're necessary. Did I miss anything else other than go buy my books? Thank you for the people who have been buying my books at Amazon, at blurb.com, and at lulu.com. I gotta do commercials myself. You will hear commercials for those on the cloud, but I'm telling you, go find my books. They're available in digital, so you don't have to pay $1 billion. You know, not my fault what they price these things. Maybe there'll be other ways to buy books in the future. Let's go. One of 52 is what? Where do I start? I guess I move along here on this thing that says beep. Here we go. Two of 52. Well, what was one? Wait. This doesn't say. I saw this movie and I don't remember the name of it. It was an Adam Sandler movie. One of 52, but it doesn't. Why isn't there any text on this? All right, let's go to the second one. Can you move along, please? Hello? My mouse is a pain in the buttress. Okay, wait a second. Now, what is going on here? Where's the copy? Something's weird here. One, two. So what do I do with this? Do I hit this? Then what do I get? Where's the copy? Hello? This is very strange because this worked. Oh, and then the ads pop up. Why this ad? Okay, stop seeing this ad. Leave me alone. I'm not interested in this ad. Oh, we'll try to show that ad again. Yeah, not to me. Wait a second. Where's the gosh? Ah, here we go. Buffalo Boys. Did anyone see this? Buffalo Boys? I gotta warn you. I went through a couple of these on the list. I didn't go through all of them. And I don't even know of some of these movies. But I guarantee you, these movies have been reviewed by big reviewers. Big, I mean. They've gotten, you know, attention when they came out for one reason or another. Oh, they got a Metascore. Oh, so you will be able to see the Metascore here. This is number 19. I guess they're on 52. I don't understand how this works. Metascore 48. It's called Buffalo Boys. Hey, more about it here? Let's see. No? Okay. Two brothers seek revenge for the murder of their father in this Indonesian Singaporean martial arts western. But it said it misses the mark. It misses the mark. Now that's odd. Because, isn't it odd? Because, if you ever seen a movie called The Magnificent Seven. The Magnificent Seven is based on the, famous Akira, you know, that Japanese guy, director of, The Seven Samurai. The Magnificent Seven is based on a Japanese film that, is revered by critics, by audiences, everywhere. But it's, and then they made an American Western out of it, see? They adapted it to be an American Western. Now, here's a movie called Buffalo Boys that is a Indonesian-Singaporean martial arts Western. So, I didn't see it. Did you see it? I didn't see it. I don't know where it came from. Buffalo Boys, the Metascore 48. Bomo. Now, here's what's going to happen with a lot of these films. I may tell you this, too. Not that you don't know. These films are going to pop up now on the queue in places like Netflix, Prime. Do I have to go down the list? Hulu, Tubu, Onus, Marcus, Aurelius, all these places where you could stream movies, right? YouTube streams movies now, right? Right? So many places. That's where a lot of these are going to wind up. To try to make their money back or what have you, but I know that didn't make it very good. Here's another one. This one was tied with Buffalo Boys. So this is a number 19 tied with Buffalo Boys. It's called Child's Play. Got a 48 Metascore. Meta. I wonder that prefix, Metascore. Then it must have something to do. Because it's a made-up word, there's no such thing, but when you put meta at the front of a word, it probably means many or specific number. A combination, a mathematical combination comes up with a score. You don't need to know that. it just came to my mind. This is in an era of reboot fatigue. And isn't that true? See, sometimes critics come up with better, well, they're clever. Anyway, this is what they wrote. Oh, this is Rex Reed. Oh boy, The Observer. So they get a quote from one of the critics that disliked it, even though it had a meta score. So that you can read something here, and right? It says, in an era of reboot fatigue, this new take on Chucky. Oh, this Child's Play is a Chucky. You know that little doll that goes around murdering people? Whose idea was that? That they came up with a frickin' franchise? Hear it? It's the critic. It's the cricket. The critic and the cricket. That's what this should have been called, this show. The critic and the cricket. So this is a new take on Chucky can't compete with the original. Oh, so what they did was they tried to reboot. They didn't do a sequel to Chucky. You know, it was Chucky's Bride, Chucky's Blood, Chucky's Legs, Chucky's Sperm Count. There was a bunch of them. And, another itch in the ear. But Rex Reed says it's just tired, desperate, and preposterous. So they tried to reboot it probably for what? Next Generation? That's how many Chucky movies there are. There's Chuck E. Cheese, too, isn't there? That was not a movie, it's a restaurant. Okay, fine. And that's okay with me. And that's okay with me. That's tied with Buffalo Boys. Two of the worst films of the year. These films probably didn't play much anywhere, anytime, huh? You're welcome for the wonderful radio. Every once in a while, I just stop and I say that you are welcome for all I've done for you. This internet radio thing, which has turned into podcasts and, let's go to the next one. Here we go. Here's another 48. Wow. There were ties. I guess that's why there's so many. It's not 20, but there's a bunch. Okay. Escape Room. Has anyone seen Escape Room? I don't know it. I have no idea. Escape Room made a lot of horror fans want to escape the theater thanks to its plot. The New York Post's Johnny Oleskinski campaign, Oleskini. Wait a second. Why am I having trouble with the name? Oleksinski. There it is. Oleksinski. Johnny Oleksinski says that the movie Escape Room waffles between being predictable and absurd. One of these days, I might have done that too. I do this thing called Common Sense Cotolo. If you hear it on the cloud, at SRN. And that, how the word waffle became to mean something completely different than original type toast, right? A waffle was a baked toast, piece of toast, right? And then it meant go back and forth. And I don't know why that came about, but we're going to have to look it up. Johnny Oleksinski, I just wanted to say it again to say it correctly. Oops. Wow, I thought that was, you know what? The wire from my headphones fell from my shoulder onto my arm, and I thought something was crawling on it. I'll tell you why, too, because we have spiders, we have creepy crawlies down here. And, ooh, hear that? There's a lot of things you can't hear that I can hear because I got the headphones on and they're super sensitive. The mic is not as super sensitive because they have better mics now, but can you hear that? I wonder, can you hear that? That's the cricket and the critic. Anyway, I don't know if you saw Escape Room and liked it or what have you, but that's the end of that. Another tie. Boy, there's a bunch of them tied on the bottom here. The New York Times, Jeanette Katsouli. Is it Katsouli? Katsoulis? I don't know how people pronounce it. That cricket is right here with the critic. He's talking in cricketese and he's saying, things about, he's like my co-host. Here's a movie called The Chaperone, and the New York Times, Jeanette Katsoulis, I don't think that's how you say it, but anyway, she calls PBS Masterpiece's first feature film. This is a feature film. And I didn't even know this happened. So, we didn't see the films. I know nothing about them. We gotta get Heather. Heather should be here with me. Oh, we'll do other stuff. PBS, the pretentious broadcasting system, as we've called it here for years and years and years. This is their first feature film, The Chaperone. Got a 48. Horrible. It says here, it was set in the roaring 20s. And it is, quote, I'm quoting the critic, not the critic, not the cricket. The Chaperone, wishy-washy period piece, wishy-washy. So, there's a critic who used wishy-washy, which sounds Japanese, doesn't it? That should have been in Buffalo Boys. Well, that's not a Japanese movie, but anyway. Wishy-washy, you're wishy-washy. Maybe that comes from a Japanese word, I don't know. How do I know? Who came up with that? The Chaperone reunites Downton Abbey writer-director Julian Fellowes with Lady Grantham herself, Elizabeth McGovern. That's Elizabeth McGovern. You're not, see, I'm looking at a picture. Well, that was a wishy-washy piece of whoa. What was I gonna say? I was looking for a W to make it an alliteration. A wishy-washy wombat. That won't work. One of the worst movies. How did that came out? And it's just as bad as The Buffalo Boys and Child's Play. So there. I was gonna say something about this? Downton Abbey. Oh yeah, I was gonna say, and I never saw that TV show, and of course they have a movie, they came out with a movie from the television show, Downton Abbey. I always thought, cause I never saw it, but when I saw the little ads for it here and there at the pretentious broadcasting system, only because I was watching it for free and not giving them any money, and watching probably something good like Ken Burns' documentary. When I saw ads for Downton Abbey, I thought it was Downtown Abbey. Anyone else out there? Let me see a show of hands. Anyone else out there think it was Downtown Abbey? It's coming from me, and I know what an abbey is all about, because when I was living out there in the downtown, there was a downtown and there was an abbey. There's no abbeys downtown, though. Downton Abbey. Anyway, that's a horrible movie right there, The Chaperone. You can judge for yourself when these things come out. When I say come out, I mean when they pop up, when they are broadcast on, you know, your Netflix, your Hulu Flicks, your Flix Prime Flicks. I wonder how many there are now. I'm trying to put that into, oh, I forget it. Here's a movie called State Like Sleep. Also a 48. But there's a bunch of bad ones that are as bad as one another. Aren't there? State Like Sleep. A widow pieces together the mystery surrounding her husband's last days in this thriller that suffers from a, quote, dud ending. Unquote. Quote, dud ending. Unquote. Let's do it together. Ready? Quote, dud ending. Unquote. That's David Edelstein did not coin the phrase. He used the phrase, quote, dud ending, unquote. And it doesn't even say who was in it. And I don't know some of these. I don't know this person. Let's move on. Probably another 48. Yep, another 48. Tolkien. Ah, I've heard about this one. William Bibbiani writes, quote, if you were trying to produce a parody of what a Tolkien biopic would look like, you'd get the exact same film. Unquote. This Nicholas Hoult, whose name I always forget, but I've seen, because he played Salinger in that movie about Pierre Salinger, which I think also bombed, but I watched it because it was about that. This is a movie about young J.R.R. Tolkien as a writer, known for one thing. Right, that underworld thing, the Hobbit stuff, and the rings, the Ring Hobbit stuff, Ring Hobbit, the Ring Hobbits. Oh, look at this! I have a problem with my window. Yeah, Nicholas Hoult played the young J.R.R. Tolkien, and it stunk. Maybe there's just nothing interesting about J.R.R. Tolkien. I don't know, but it sucked. Move on. Yes, just as I thought, another tie. Wow, this is amazing. But that's because of the Metascore. You probably, if you did it for yourself, you probably say, well, this one was better than that one. I wouldn't make it a tie. And I'm not saying that you talk like that. I'm not trying to imitate you because I don't know what you talk like. I know what some of you talk like because I've heard some of you talk, but I didn't mean to make a mockery of your voice. Ready? Do it together. Oh, I forgot. What was the other dud one? Oh, anyway. Forget it. We won't do anything. This is the new, let's talk about reboots. Here it is. Godzilla, King of the Monsters. They made another Godzilla, right? Spent millions of dollars of CGI stuff. Is that getting any cheaper? I don't know. Does anybody know? A star-studded cast, including Vera Farmiga, Kyle Chandler, and the lady from Stranger Things, actress Millie Bobby Brown, but it said they couldn't save the latest take on Godzilla. Critic Mike Ryan said, quote, what a mess, unquote. What a mess, unquote. I didn't see it. I'm sure the spectacular effects. But, you know, when that first reboot, not the one by the Independents, not the one by, man, whatever his name, that we talked about on the show when, what's his name was on. What's wrong with that? Why do I even say that if I can't find the names when I need them? I can do whatever I want, you know, because this is my show. So if I want to stop for 10 minutes and do sounds, I can do it. It's always been that way. They don't do that on podcasts because they're all trying to be so professional. And when the definition of that, all that means is they're getting money for it. I do this, and I've always done this, for you, for nothing. Okay, got a couple of perks here and there, okay? This Stranger Things, I want to tell you something else. I'll give you a Stranger Things review. I tried to watch it. Just drawn out. I don't know. I'm just not into it. It's done very well, but I don't know. I don't know. This series stuff that goes on is, there goes again. I do that smacking sound because I like how it looks on the meter. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a meter. What's it called? The scope. Sound scope. Let's call it a sound scope. Anyway, I don't like Stranger Things. I didn't like it. I don't like it at all. And I just don't like it. So there. But Millie Bobby Brown, I guess she plays the one who's the first one they find in Stranger Things. You probably saw it too. Godzilla Kingdom Monster stinks. Let's move on. Yes, another tie. All of these are tied with 48 Metascore from the mathematical Metascore machine. This is a film called Lords of Chaos. As I said, a lot of these I've never even heard about this year. But they've been reviewed because they came out, and that's the deal. This thriller set in the early 1990s Norwegian black metal scene has been described as, quote, mean-spirited, unquote, and exploitive. That was a quote, too, by critics. Doesn't say what it's about. I don't know anything about the 1990s Norwegian black metal scene. Now, when they say black metal, I don't think they mean that there's African-Americans doing metal music. I'm assuming dark, you know, that they're using it as a, you know, not as a description, not as a color. Using the word black, which has many, many definitions, and you should look them up, just like in that wonderful movie, when they do it in the wonderful movie where Denzel Washington plays Malcolm X, a movie called Malcolm X, when he's in prison and the guy who's trying to save him. You should look up the definition of black. I love that scene, too, because definitions are important. And people use words, and they don't use the definition. And lots of times, like, it's not just, you know, anyway. Okay, fine. All right? Lords of Chaos. Let's see. Now that's, I don't know how many. That's 9 or 8 that tied. Here's another one. And by golly, it's a tie. Well, so we got another Metascore 48 here. The tenth tie. Whoa. This is called Mary Magdalene. And everybody knows what it's about. It's about Mary Magdalene. Those of you who aren't Bible savvy or haven't been raised Catholic or some kind of Christian denomination should know Mary Magdalene. Rooney Mara plays Mary Magdalene, and believe it or not, Joaquin Phoenix, who is, you know, everybody's going nuts about playing the Joker, which is a prequel to the Joker, how the Joker came about without Batman, because it's not there. And that's getting all sorts of reviews. But it's always Joaquin. Joaquin is very, is revered in Hollywood these days. Revered! And he likes to play weird characters. Okay, anyway, Rooney Mara is Mary Magdalene, and Joaquin Phoenix is Jesus. He's playing Jesus in this movie. Well, he's covered some ground. It's a biblical drama that will leave you, you ready for this quote? Praying for your time back, unquote. That says Jonathan Christian. Mary Magdalene stunk. Not she. I mean, you know, a movie. I don't know how they make a movie out of that without just doing the Jesus story again. Now I know not to watch it. Or if I do, some of these movies that I hear about here, I know they'll come back to me in my head. When I see them broadcast, I might watch 4 minutes or 5 minutes of them just to see how stinky are they. We have our first Metascore 47 now. Our first Metascore 47 is a movie titled King of Thieves. Hey, what just happened? Here? Oh yeah, here we are. What happened? Oh, this stupid thing happened. I see what happened. It's these damn windows, which of course are like windows. It's windows. The King of Thieves got a 47, an impressive cast. I could see right there. I could see him looking at it, and I see Michael, whose name I don't know. You know this guy. Come on, the English guy. Michael. Oh, no. Not Michael Steele. Oh, man. He's Michael, whatever. I can't believe it. And next to him is the guy who played in, The Deflated, not The Deflated. What was it? It was movie of the year. It was Martin Scorsese's The Departed. They mentioned The Deflated. I'm going to write that down. There's a name for a movie. The Deflated. You have to write this down. The Deflated. These are movie title. Movie parody. No, I don't know if it's a parody, but anyway, movie title. These are the kind of things you'll see when you'll hear about. You won't see them because I'm not going to show you. I'm not on. These are the kind of things you'll hear about when I do the notebook show. See, because it goes into my mind. The Deflated. It's when I'm trying to remember something and I can't. I have an idea of what it, some of a piece of the word or anything, and I still can't notice Michael something. And everybody knows who I'm talking about. Cider House Rules. Michael, the British guy. Is it Michael even? Oh boy. Hey, it's not Michael. Should look it up. The impressive cast can't turn this British heist movie around. It says, Lee Greenblatt, the critic, not the cricket, says that Thieves feels oddly joyless. Remember him? Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Oddly Joyless. And it could be a rap guy. I mean, a British rap guy. Oddly Joyless. Because, you know, they have like words that are, I don't know, they have names that are weird. See if there's another 47. By golly, there is. It's called The Operative. Diane Kruger goes undercover in Tehran in this boring, that's quote, boring, unquote, spy thriller. The Operative. That's all it says. Let's move on. We got plenty of these things. And we're going to take our short halftime break here. The Public. Got a 46, and it's a tie. So apparently we got a couple of 47 ties, 46. But my glasses are hurting me. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. You're sorry. Because I have glasses that go, obviously, behind the ears, or they go through the top of the ears, and I have headphones on. The headphones go over the ears. So over the ears presses the ears, and therefore presses the part of my glasses that go over the ears. Through the ears. Anyway, The Public. Emilio Estevez is the writer, director, and star of this drama about homeless Cincinnatians taking over a public library. Let's stop right here, because I have never heard anyone say, are you from Cincinnati? Yeah, you're a Cincinnatians. Why aren't they Cincian? See, there's... I'm going to do this with Tom Savino once. I'm going to get him on the show. We're going to do this again because years ago we got together, like we always got together, but I mean, we got this one night, drank wine and talked about why, people from various places get these, suffixes that are, they are like Cincinnatians. Why isn't that Cincinnatiese? I'm Cincinnatiese, right? Why isn't it, right? If you're from Hoboken, you're a Hobokener. Or a Hobokenerida, right? A Hobokeneration. Anyway, Slant Magazine, which I do not know and never knew existed, Keith Watson lambasted this movie. He said, quote, "This film is a clunky, overwritten attempt to pack as many tortured subplots and pre-chewed sociological insights as can possibly fit into a two-hour runtime." Unquote. Poor Emilio. Maybe he's not that good a writer. What else did he do? I don't know. I know something he was trying to do, but I have no idea. I don't know. Sorry, Emilio. You're tied. It's number 17. Well, there's supposed to be 20. There were 52 in the 20 range, and I missed the Adam Sandler one because it didn't have anything written about it. Maybe it'll pop up. Okay, medicine. Here we go. The Public. Tie, 46. Breakthrough. A 46 Metascore. This Is Us. I've never seen that. People talk about that show. Not people I know, but people talk about that show. This Is Us actress Chrissy Metz is a mother whose prayers help save her son after he drowns. It's a Christian drama. Here's the quote from Rex Reed. He's back. "A terrific cast is the only thing that saves it from last rites." Unquote. Rex, you know, a good critic? I got to ask Heather about this. You know, finds those little phrases and words that have something to do with the movie, right? So he could say the last rites, okay? Move this in here. Yes, I can. Can I go get that thing I need? Yes, I can. He said to himself, right? Saves it from its last rites. You get it? I got it. Where do I go with this? Oh, I got to move this over here. My name is Frank Cotolo, man whose name adorns the title of the show. We're going through the reviews and some reviews and a little bit about the worst movies calculated from critics of the year 2019. So far, many bad movies are still to come, according to what? This. And we're going to go through this. And if we don't go into the section from 2016, fine. We'll just do this for this amount of time. In the meantime, let's take a short break so that you can all... Oh, come on with these windows! You know what it is, too? It's this... I don't know what's going on with this mouse. It's, like, so super sensitive. It's weird. How do I do this, then? I see. Can I do this? Hold on. Super sensitive. All right, here's what we're going to do. You ready? All right, yeah. I don't know if this doesn't blow up now. Hey, look, it worked. Take a little break. So you go, you know, replenish your precious bodily fluids by getting some beverage and release waste. We'll be back here in a second.
The Toll of Chronicles, the internet talk show from the neo-postmodern world.
to do. Now it's time to do the rest of the show that we do here. Thank you, Steve. Steve Allen, Ray Brown.
Boy, it sounded like gay. Almost sounded like a music show at that time, right? Here goes Frank. Yeah, Steve Allen and Ray Brown wrote that tune back in. Screw it. Where are we? We're going to go to the movies. Back to the movie. Back to the bad movie list. We're only up to this. Well, I'll tell you what. We can do all these and just call it a show. We can do a 90-minute show, maybe. Let's go. Let's see how far we get. Here's a movie called El Chicano with a 46. It's another tie. Metascore of 46. And it's all a quote. Quote, chunky dialogue and cliche lines, unquote, plague this drama about twin brothers. You know, if you say twin, okay, you gotta say the sex, of course, twin brothers, twin sisters. You know, a lot of people will say, there's two twin brothers. No, it's not, that's wrong. They're twin brothers. That means there's two. Cliche clunky. It's a drama about twin brothers on opposite sides of the law. Oh, there's an original thing, isn't it? Anyway, they think it stinks. Look, they keep shooting these ads up here. Hey, I don't want that ad. That's what you get. Is that Foxfire? No, it's CBS. And they go, well, that's the only reason we have it. Well, you know, we didn't have ads and we were broadcasting at one time because that's what we did. Okay. You can't put down people for trying to make money because that's what everybody needs to make money unless you're born with it and you have it. Here's one called The Upside. What a stinker. Listen to this. Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston. Kevin Hart is an ex-con taking care of paralyzed billionaire Bryan Cranston. But the stellar cast can't save this flick from mediocrity. What? This is one of those movies they get to make because they get a deal. They've got Kevin Hart as top, and you know Bryan Cranston, he's always being nominated but never getting, and everyone likes him because of the Breaking Bad crap. And he played Trumbo, he's great as Trumbo. And he was nominated for an Academy Award, but didn't make it because of, and I'm going to give it to him. The Upside. Now, I don't know, that's gone. That's a tie for 46. We have another tie for we got a 45 now. Wonder Park. This is a, there's no one's in this because it's a CGI thing. Girl brings an amusement park to life in this animated movie that, per critics, is anything but wondrous. See, they did it again. You see what they did there? Wonder Park. Stinks. That's what I should. Oh, by the way, did I mention, it's me, Frank Cotolo, man, his name was doing the title show. You're listening to Cotolo Chronicles. Stinks. They say like, it's garbage. What people would just say, the way they'd say it if they were just, you know, cartoon characters. The Prodigy gets a 45. It's tied with the other one that stinks. Orange is the New Black Star. There's something I've never seen either, so I can't remark. And you don't care what I say anyway. Orange is the New Black Star. Taylor Schilling is mother to a son who appears to be afflicted with something supernatural in The Prodigy. This sounds like my father wrote it. Well, the kid's got something. What is it? Something supernatural. It's something supernatural. Anything specific? Something. Griffin Schiller describes this movie as forgettable. In other words, stinks! Okay? I gotta translate. They try to be, as I said, and you know, they try to be snappy and creative you know? And they, when they're putting things down, you know, or they try to, you know, the critics, I mean, when they write this stuff. And I'm just saying that every one of these cleverly different orchestrated sentences with adjectives and stuff that they do all comes down to this. So I'm, you know, the prodigy. What does he have? He's got something supernatural. Something supernatural is happening with this kid. Next. Atai 45. Red Joan. Red Joan. Oh, here's a Judi Dench. Dame Judi Dench is not above the worst movies list. The Oscar winner's portrayal of the KGB's longest serving British spy isn't the issue here. According to critics, it's the filmmaking that falls flat. It falls flat. Now I'm thinking about that phrase that I've heard a million times. It falls flat. If something's falling, okay, so it doesn't rise to the occasion. Then it doesn't rise. It's not, it doesn't lift the material. Falls flat. Stinks! That's what that means. Even Judi Dench, you know what I would have written? Here's what I would have written if I didn't like it. I don't know. I haven't seen it. Maybe I like it. And well, eventually. The Dench Stench. Yes. This is Frank Cotolo for Movie Reviews. I got an original title for my, well, it's called Red Joan, but I'd call it the Dench Stench. Because this movie stinks! Next. 44. Here's a movie called Unicorn Store. Oh my God. This Brie Larson helmed film is free if you have a Netflix subscription. Okay, here's one you could see. Apparently these are all, then maybe these are already on Netflix. Maybe these were not all theatrical releases. It does not say when they put this together. See, they didn't give me a description like this. So then a movie is a movie is a movie. And since some of these movies are now available to win, what? Golden Globes and, now I don't know about Oscars, but anyway, it says here Brie Larson helm film is free, but is it worth the stream? Christy Puchko, who is a critic, movie critic for IGN, I don't know what that means, says, quote, astounding misfire of a directorial debut, unquote. Thanks! Okay. There's a, what's his name? Samuel Jackson with a crazy wig on. I got my wig on. You got your wig on, baby. What is that phrase? I got my something on. When you put on it, you call, I got my stag on. No, I got my swag on. I don't know. It's one of those things. 44. Let's see what the next one is. It's a 44. Brightburn. I recognized her right from the beginning. I couldn't think of Michael, and I lost his name again. See? Mike? How could you forget Michael Sten? No, Michael Streening. Michael Reed. No. Okay, forget about it. But I immediately saw this face. I went, that's Elizabeth Banks. Isn't that weird? So it's not age-related discrepancy that I have, which is by what? A-R-D. R, you have ARD? Yes, age-related discrepancy. I don't have that. It's just what I can't, you know, remember at the given moment. I could do this for the next 10 minutes. Child from another world uses his superpowers, and does what was, yeah, his something, some kind of superpower, for sinister reasons in this horror film, that stars Elizabeth Banks. Isn't she married to Reb Tarkman? See, I can't remember his name either. Doesn't matter. Real Views, apparently that's a some kind of a clearinghouse for critics. Real Views? It's not a magazine because there are no more magazines, a lot of them. They're not a lot of magazines anymore. You're welcome for the wonderful radio. James Berardinelli. Berardinelli. Oh, look at this. They wrote proclaims. He did not proclaim. He said. Again, there's that. I won't get into it. James Baradnelli said, this is one of 2019's worst films. Well, he didn't even try to get clever, did he? Stinks! Okay. Poor Elizabeth. Here's one that has 43. Oh, A Dog's Journey. This got a 43. I saw pieces of, I guess I had trailers for this movie, and just the trailer alone turned me off. I was like, what? What? A Dog's Journey? What does he do? And, it just looks so bad. When you can't get a trailer, you know, to look good, I mean, you know, to be, you can't sell one with a trailer. Forget. Unfortunately, this Dog's Journey ends on the worst movies list, says Washington Post critic Kristen Page Kirby. That's Page hyphen Kirby, because her maiden name is Kristen Page, but she wanted to keep it, so she put a hyphen to her husband, Kirby. He could have been Ben Kirby, could have been Robert Kirby, could have been Durwood Kirby. There's a name. But I'll tell you, write that one down in your, and then look it up later. There was a Durwood Kirby, ladies and germs. And there was a ladies and germs, ladies and gentlemen, and with ladies and gentlemen. You know, there's another one. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's like, who says that? That's, again, like saying, well, without further ado. This movie was called, quote, emotionally manipulative, unquote. Meaning? Stinks! Dennis, that's not, what's his name? It's one of the Quaids. Not Dennis. Oh, yeah, wait. Randy is the wild one, right? This is Dennis Quaid, who does commercials now, because he's in movies like that. Here's a movie called The Aftermath. Metascore, 43. And we're in 23 of 52. That's why there's so many. It's not 52 movies. I thought it was 52 movies, but it's not, because there's so many ties. Keira Knightley and Alexander Skarsgård. Remember him? You don't have to remember. He's still out there. Carry on an affair in post-war Germany. In what the New York Post, here he is again, Johnny Oleksinski calls, quote, a crude blend of history and pulpy romance, unquote. Meaning, stinks! Critics are, there's lots of different views and opinions about critics. But in a sense, the fact that you don't really have to, if you're a critic, one of the big things that artists say about critics is, well, they can't do a full film. They can't write a film. They can't act, but they sure can criticize. But let me tell you this. Everyone's a critic. These critics who make a living, or hopefully they're making a living, or do part-time or whatever they do, part-time, they know how to write, and they use this particular area to write about, because they know how to write, and they just tell you what they think, their opinion. And writers do that. I know I'm a writer, and a lot of people say what I write stinks, but everyone has an opinion. If there's one reviewer, one critic, not cricket. If there's a cricket in the theater, then you'll never hear him like you hear the crickets here. But a critic, there's one critic or two critics or three critics? No. There's all critics. Everybody who pays to see a movie is a critic. They like it. They don't like it. They just don't express it in words, in paragraphs, in 800 words, or put it into, or publish it or post it. Because if you post it, it's published, right? If you post it, it's published. It's not published, pub and pub, po, pub. Po as in po, st as in st. So there. The Aftermath. I don't know where these things originate. You could find out. Also tied for 43 with the Metascore, Dark Phoenix's mutant superpower. Being the worst movie ever in the X-Men series, writes Peter Travers of Rolling Stone. I don't know that. Dark Phoenix is apparently one of the X-Men, and she's a woman. They should be X-persons, right? It shouldn't be the X-Men. It should be X-persons. Let's move on. 25 of 52 is a tie. It gets a 43. It's called Glass. Glass. And this is won by M. Night Shyamalan. Is it Shyamalan? Shyamalan. Him. You know him. He sees dead people. That guy. Signs, right? Didn't he do Signs too? I think so. This is called Glass. I don't know who's in it. Oh, wait a second. I see a face. It looks to me like Jude Law, although I might be wrong on that. I don't think I'm wrong on Bruce Willis. And the other guy, I don't know. But Unbreakable and Split crossover. Oh, apparently he did a couple of other movies. He did a movie called Unbreakable and one called Split crossover. This is a crossover between two of M. Night. Wait a second. Whose middle name is Night? N-I-G-H-T. I never thought of this. His name is Night. His middle name is Night. Or maybe if he was a son of Doris Day, right? Or Johnny Dark. Johnny Dark had a son. Jay. Okay. The point is, this overwhelmed critics and audiences alike. Joshua Rothkopf of Time Out. You know, there's links on all these, so apparently you go to the website. Time Out is London Film Glass. London Film? I don't know. He says this, quote, "It's both stupefying and a little sad to realize that this is a movie Shyamalan wanted to make," unquote. What's it mean? You could say it now. Just shout it out. Right. You know what that means? Say it. All right. Well, we got a lot to go and plenty of time to do it. Yeah, well, anyway, let's go to Mapplethorpe gets a 42. Matt Smith, who apparently it says here, Doctor Who and The Crown. I don't see, there's so many people I don't know, actors and actresses, takes on the title role in this biopic of the late photographer Robert Mapplethorpe. From whence comes the title of the movie Mapplethorpe? RogerEbert.com, he doesn't do it anymore, he's dead, he passed on. But they give credit to his website as opposed to the person who wrote it. Unbelievable. It says RogerEbert.com's, oh, it says right here. Oh, God. I'm sorry. They do. Nick Allen, who writes for RogerEbert.com, describes this movie as, quote, "stunningly drab," unquote. I gave you a little spot there to yell it out. You know what that means. You know what I mean. You know what that means. Same thing, five words. Stuber. Kumail Nanjiani and Dave Bautista team up in this buddy comedy centered around an Uber driver and a cop passenger. Screen Daily's Tim Grierson says they're a likable pair. The strained comedy suffers from a maddeningly uninspired execution. Stuber gets a 42, and it's tied with what? The one before or the one after? It's tied with this. Pappy Chulo. I just got to check my sound here. Okay, we're going good. Pappy Chulo. Matt Bomer. I don't know him either. Is a lonely TV weatherman who befriends a migrant worker in a complicated buddy comedy. Monica Castillo of The Wrap deems, what she just said, said, wrote, deems, quote, "well-intentioned, but at times insensitive," unquote. Go ahead, yell it out. Right. See, in the old days, we'd have a cart. It was a little tape loop that you put into a cart machine, and it would play it. You see, it plays, you know, like 5, 6, 8 seconds of something. And it would be someone goes, "boy, that's really bad." Right? Let's say that was the noise. So I put it in. So I put in the, you know, like, and make the sound. Oh, I'm not going to make, here, I'll do the, "that's really bad. That's really bad." See what it would do? You just push it. That's me putting the cart into the cart machine. This is the fake sound. Because it was noisy. The cart, it literally was a cart. It was a big plastic, and inside of it there was tape, which is you record upon. So you would record, like, you know, 2 seconds. Let's say, it would, "that's really bad." It was in that voice, right? So you put the cart in, then I would say, like, well, this is what she said. She said well-intentioned, but at times insensitive. That's really bad. That's really bad. A little radio history there as we move on to 41, The Curse of La Llorona. Dum, dum, dum. What's more haunting, the horrifying apparition at the center of this film or the filmmaking itself? John DeFore of The Hollywood Reporter proclaims this one a ho-hum, wait, I didn't say quote, quote, a ho-hum horror flick, unquote. That's really bad. You believe that I am analoging, is that a word? I'm analoging, imitating the sound of a cart and what was in it. When I have all these digital things, I could just click a file and it would say, that's really bad. Here's one that gets 41. Ooh, look at this. It's called Being Frank. Comedian Jim Gaffigan is Frank. Jim Gaffigan plays a guy with my name. Right there, I got a problem. A man with two families in Being Frank. Here's a quote from Variety's Joe Leyden. Or is it Leyden? Let's say Leyden. Quote, there is something ineffably creepy about this contrived and mirthless farce. Unquote. Mirthless farce. That's really bad. Mirthless farce. But Jim Gaffigan got a movie and it stunk. I don't know where that wound up. I haven't even heard of some of these things. I wonder if he had anything to do with writing it. Well, you could always look it up at IMDb, right? International Data. No, IMDb. I always get those letters mixed up. International Movie Database. Here's another 41, Miss Bala. It's a discordant mess of a movie, says Jude Dry of IndieWire. He describes it. He said that. It's a movie, right? It stars Jane the Virgin, actress. Oh, this must be a movie or a TV show or a Netflix or a Prime Flix. Jane the Virgin actress Gina Rodriguez as a woman drawn into the world of cross-border crime. It's called Miss Bala. Gets a 41, and it? That's really bad. Okay, next. Now that I have my card, maybe I should get another card. What else should I say? So I did the stinks thing off mic. I don't want to do stinks. I like that really bad. We'll just keep that up. That's getting you. Anna, you come and ask me, girl. You know, that's another thing we're going to do. We say, but we don't know if we'll do another Cotolo Cafe. It's been a long time. I might just do it with the guitar this time as opposed to the piano. It's according to how well I clean this place up down here. Anna is one of the worst. Oh, no, wait. Anna is the character. Now I'm reading into it. Because I know these are bad films, according to the critics. Anna is one of the world's most feared government assassins. It's also the name of a film that John DeFore of The Hollywood Reporter says is, quote, a lifeless and instantly forgettable spy flick, unquote. That's really bad. Who is this actress? I don't know, but she's very, very pretty. An acceptable loss gets a 40. So we're now into the 40s. This political thriller stars Jamie Lee Curtis. Wow. That's Jamie Lee Curtis with her white hair. I didn't see it right away. And who? Tika Sumpter. Tika Sumpter. See, I don't know these people. It's this is Richard Roper. Remember him? The last season that Roger Ebert did anything live, because he was alive, Richard Roper took the place of Roger Ebert and Ken Mengman. I forget, you see? What a shame. I forgot his original partner. Ebert and Swine. No. Because he died before Ebert. And then Richard Roper took over. Richard Roper says about this movie, an acceptable loss. It's a B movie with some A level acting. Well, that's one of the worst movies and still, I'm going to have to put some Vaseline or something on this. See, I have to keep my I have to keep my headphones on. This is Cotola Chronicles. My name is Frank Tolo. Man's name is the title of the show. We're not going to go into the 2016 show about the movie music. We'll do that another time. We're staying right here. 33 of 52. Let's move it along. Domino. Nikolaj Coster-Waldau. Well, he's a guy from Game of Thrones. I don't know, never saw it. He's a Copenhagen cop. He's a Copenhagen cop. And that's got a reach to it. Copenhagen cop. Copenhagen cop. That's very bad. Uh-oh. Is that what I said? Was that it? That's very bad? My ear is killing me. Okay, I'll keep this off for a while. I can't. You see, I have to have my glasses on. Maybe if I put a tissue underneath there? No, that's not going to work. Crap. Okay, this stinks. Let's move on. Domino. It's a Copenhagen cop. He's a Copenhagen cop seeking justice for his partner's murder. And it's atypically boring, says this guy. Okay, move on. Shaft. Shaft is a reboot. I knew the original Shaft actor, Robert Roundtree. It's not Robert Roundtree, okay? I finally come up with a name close to one. Richard Roundtree, one of the nicest guys I ever met. You know, that is who's an actor or anything. Was the original Shaft. Shaft! Remember that? Shaft! That was done by the other guy. Shaft! Go with a real deep voice. You get three Shafts in this one. Oh, Richard Roundtree is in it! That's Richard Roundtree! By golly! The original Shaft is in this! And along with Jesse T. Usher and Samuel Jackson. Richard Roundtree. You get three Shafts for the price of one, it says. I know a place where you could also get that. Is it worth it? Here's the quote from Katie Walsh of the Chicago Tribune. This Shaft is a bad mother, all right, and it'd be better if he just shut his mouth. That's very bad. So that's Richard Roundtree. Of course he's going to be all white, his beard. I didn't even know he had a beard. And, you know, well, we were very young back then. Ugly Dolls. Here's another CGI thing that went bad, according to this. Pitbull, Ice-T, Kelly Clarkson, and Blake Shelton are among the talents lending their voices to this family-friendly, imbecilic eyesore. It's an imbecilic eyesore. Oh, man. That's very bad. 37 is a Tyler Perry, a Madea family funeral. This guy now, of course, down in Atlanta, you've heard about Tyler Perry, has built a humongous new studio that's like bigger than... Wow, he's going to make a bundle off this. And a lot of his movies, people said, stunk. But he has really done something with his money. He's invested it right back into the business. And maybe some good movies will come out of that. But this is not one of them. Unfortunately, Tyler Perry's Madea doesn't go out on a high note. Because it's her funeral. The final installment in his franchise finds itself among the worst films of the year. Oh. Okay, I didn't know. I knew about the series somewhat there. The Intruder, number 10? Yeah, it's 38 and 52. Wow. Okay, this is Intruder is the next level dopey. Every single character in this film, including the villain, is irritatingly, maddeningly dumb. Once again, Dennis Quaid. Michael Ealy and Megan Good. I don't know them. Wow, Dennis can't... He can't... Do, and as Richard Roper, by the way, who reviewed that, he can't catch a break. He can't be in every one of his films stinks. That's very bad. Okay, let's move along here now because we're past the Dirt. It's a 39 Netflix Motley Crue biopic. Plays like an ill-advised remake of This Is Spinal Tap, says Jason Bailey from the New York Times. Wow. Who got the money to do a biopic on Motley Crue? Whoa. I don't know. How some of this stuff gets done. Here's one, Men in Black International. This was the, Men in Black franchise number 4, which I think, and I don't know this, I don't know if this was kind of supposed to be a reboot or if it was just two other men in black. One of them was not a man. Now listen to this, Jim Smodek. Here comes another one from Original Sin. A reviewer says, call it meh in black. Meh in black. That's very bad. Yes, meh. Tessa Thompson and Chris Hemsworth reunite in their third movie together. Oh, really? I didn't even know that, but... So Men in Black International stunk. Ah, here's the one who was the picture in the front. I've seen this, and I got to admit that I got through it knowing it was terrible, but I did get through it somehow. And recently, movies with Adam Sandler, and who I've never been a fan, for whom I've never been a fan, and Jennifer Aniston, who I just like to look at. And I don't know if she acts at all. She acts, whatever. This movie called Murder Mystery, it was very popular. I got to see it and I knew everything that was going to happen and how it happened. I watched it for its construction and its dramatic, I say dramatic as a comedy, but its dramatic form. Cause every once in a while I watch these, movies specifically for script, movie drama, how they follow the drama. Code. Is it a code? I don't know. Whatever it is. You know what it is. That's very good. No, I didn't pick that. It's a Netflix original. Adam Sandler is getting millions of dollars. Millions of dollars to make these Netflix movies. And you know what? They are getting millions of hits, last I heard. So a critic, he doesn't care about critics here anyway. Adam Sandler is a New York City cop taking his wife, who's Jennifer Aniston, on a European vacation. The couple is framed for murder, and the rest is, here comes the quote, dumb, pointless, and completely bereft of laughs, unquote. There were a couple of laughs in it, but that of course is so subjective. Serenity? Here's Academy Award winner Matthew McConaughey in one of the worst films of the year. And Anne Hathaway, also Academy Award winner. Their characters deliver a film that cracks the top 10 of the worst films this year. The top 10! Terrible and insane. The mystery thriller leaves viewers with many questions like, why did I watch this? That's very bad. I didn't do it at the end of it because it doesn't come out like that. You know? It's kind of, you put it in, it made sounds. There's a cricket. Cricket. Is saying Serenity. Amazing, huh? Here's someone also on the edge of infamy. on the edge of his career. I'm not laughing at it. You know, he's made $1 jillion. I hope he saved it. But really, Johnny Depp was in a movie called The Professor. It got a 37 Metascore. It ties with 37. It was number 8. The worst films. Johnny Depp is a dying college professor on a reckless streak. Here comes a quote. Quote, it's yet another warmed over male midlife crisis movie, according to Jessica Klang, Kiang, I'm sorry, not Klang, Kiang of the playlist. Johnny, you did it again. Palms, POMS, Metascore. Here's Diane Keaton. She forms a cheerleading squad at a retirement community. All right? How'd they sell this one? The verdict? Palms, here's the quote from the Hollywood Reporter. Palms is equal parts boring and infuriating, especially when you consider the actress made to perform caricatures of old age. Wow. Diane, that's very bad. Here we go. 6. Metascore 35. The Hustle. Don't hustle to see this one, says. This gender-swapped remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. Remember? Yes. Here's another Anne Hathaway gone wrong movie. Wow. What, are they phoning it in, or they just don't have... I don't understand. Maybe it's... I don't understand. Does a lot of it have to do with the competition, or is this coming? I don't know. Is this going out into the theaters? The gender-swapped remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, which was with Michael Quinn. It's not Quinn. It's the other guy again. What's his name? And Steve Martin. Anne Hathaway and Rebel Wilson. I don't know her. Has been called, quote, profoundly stupid. That's very bad. Euphoria. Not, this is not the Zendaya TV movie series, which I love because I love Zendaya. Okay, so don't you say anything about Zendaya or about Isabel, not Mary, but the other one. Don't. Equal parts solemn and sappy. According to Eva Green. No, and Eva Green is in it. I'm sorry. The drama features Alicia Vikander, and Eva Green as two estranged sisters traveling together to a mystery destination. And another one written by my late father. They're going, where are they going on this trip? Somewhere. They're going somewhere. Going somewhere. Do not define it. You know what I mean. Next is Hellboy. Here's another. Ah, this is a reboot. Why? Ron Perlman was in two Hellboy movies, and, you know, as far as that kind of stuff goes, comic book stuff, it was okay, right? Well, the guy from David Harbour is the guy from Stranger Things. Oh, yes, he's the guy. He's been in lots of movies. In Equalizer 1, he's a bad guy. He's in that movie where Liam Neeson is trying to find the people who's stealing girls or something. I don't know what that was called. Dark Tombs of a Shadow, a Shadow on the Tombstone or something. This guy is in Stranger Things. He's a cop in Stranger Things. Didn't know his name. Because really, he's one of those guys you see, and I just don't know his name, until he showed up on as a host of Saturday Night Live. And that was a terrible show. And that's editorial, but whatever. Stranger Things actor David Harbour replaces Ron Perlman in the reboot no one asked for. And that's what I mean. Why? Here's a quote. How bad can a movie be? Hellboy expands the possibilities. It's brain-numbing and head-splitting, proclaims. Says Joe Morgenstern of the Wall Street Journal. I, it beats me. Some weird things are done and some great movies are probably sitting in the queue. There's scripts piled up in, looking for producers and money. And what do they get? Nothing. Okay, let's move it on. Move it on. The Aspern Papers gets a 28, based on Henry James, I thought so, The Aspern Papers, 1888 novella. An editor sets out to obtain love letters a poet sent to his mistress. Okay? What does David Lewis of the San Francisco Chronicle say? Quote, the movie is made even worse with embarrassing flashbacks, painful voiceover, and inane dream sequences. Unquote. That's very bad. Tie for number two, Replicas. Oh my, is Keanu Reeves trying to... Oh boy, a lot of these guys are and gals are really blowing it to see this many applauded actors in these movies that are just stinking up, you know, like the dench, they get the dench stench. A lot of these movies have the dench stench, which means, you know, there's a recognizable actor who's done some good work, and he or she is in this movie, and they're a dent. It's the dench stench. And you can quote me on that. Keanu Reeves had a big year. Apparently he did, because he was in, I don't know, some other things. But his sci-fi film about a scientist obsessed with bringing his dead family back to life was dead on arrival. Luke Parker says, it's... a disaster, unquote. That's very bad. Another tie for number two, Polar. Polar, a neo-noir film streaming on Netflix, follows a retiring assassin forced back into the game. What an original idea. Critic Peter, I can't, oh, here he is, Subzinski, let's just say Subaninski, because he classifies this as, quote, a gross, stupid, and relentlessly ugly film from start to finish. Who are these people in it? I recognize one of them, but I don't. We're still, okay, we're coming right to it. The Haunting of Sharon Tate. Wow, did someone, wow, where did this come from? I know, I'm saying it like I'm shocked, because I am. The Metascore, 8. Okay, remember the ones that stunk that were 48? This got an 8. 40 less than the ones that stunk that badly. Hilary Duff, younger actress Hilary Duff, who fans also know from her days as Disney's Lizzie McGuire, embodies Sharon Tate in the worst film of the year so far. This is number one. Is it tied? No, it's just number one. This is the worst movie of the year. For those of you who might be too young to remember Sharon Tate, who was the wife of Roman Polanski. Sharon Tate was viciously murdered, like you could be murdered any other way. She was murdered and in the raid by the crazies from what's-his-name. Oh, no, don't do this to me. Michael Quinn, no, not that guy. He's an actor. He's not a murderer. The very famous guy who in, you know, the Hollywood. How can I? You're welcome for the wonderful radio. Anyway, here's what it says. Pregnant with Roman Polanski's child, Tate is plagued by visions in this horror flop. William Bibbiani labels it an, quote, astoundingly tasteless motion picture perfunctorily produced and insensitively conceived, unquote. Whew. It's good that I can't remember his name. That vicious, stupid murderer, the helter-skelter guy. Crazy, psychologically demented person that somehow got out into the public and found these poor girls and made murders out of them. And unfortunately, the fate of beautiful Sharon Tate, who was an actor at the time, and the wife of Roman Polanski. Yeah, there's the cricket. Tied for first? How come it's a 51 or 52? That's it. How could that be? It's at 51 or 52, and it was there, and it goes to CBS, goes to another place. Here. Latest news. When are the latest news? No, because it would all be out. It would out be. Comic-Con has come to that place, huh? Well, okay. Let me sign out of this. Or let me just close it. Bing! We'll close this, too. Well, we went a while there, huh? And we're pretty close to the end anyway. I mean, the usual end would be 2 hours, but here we are. My name is Frank Cotolo, man of the name adjoins the title of the show. This has been Cotolo Chronicles. Next week, before next week, if you come in here, go download Periscope if you don't have it. Mary Parr will be here. We plan to have her taking questions and talking to people through her on Periscope, coming through on here to Cotolo Chronicles. And we're just going to have some fun. You could call in if you get Periscope. Find Mary Parr. You could call in. And you could, you know, or you can just write things. Let me write things. They leave messages there by doing your little type-toppy things. And that'll happen. In the meantime, in between time, what else? There's this. There's this, the theme song which takes us out of this particular one. Go listen to Cotolo Chronicles on the other stations. If you go to CotoloChronicles.blogspot.com, you see a list of stations that rebroadcast this show, which I'm doing live right now. If we were live, then I would be on, but it's recorded, and they listen. Well, other than that, you go buy the books. I got books. You go get the books, and you keep listening and keep doing what you do. And, you know, all that stuff. I don't have any stock. Yes, I do have something stock. Good night, Mrs. Ursula, wherever you are. That's very good. I'll be back, hopefully, next week with Mary Parr. And then from there on in, here we go. Round and round we go where we stop. No one knows. I know not. I'm going to stop right now because I have nothing more to say.